couple of weeks ago, chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, and I finally got through with just one verse, and I've been trying to get through these other few verses for the last 2 weeks, and I still haven't made it. But Jesus Christ, in this chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, is one sermon, and that is a Sermon on the Mount, preached by the greatest preacher, Jesus Christ, and one of the greatest sermons, or is the greatest sermon. And he talked to a group of his disciples, which was nothing but just old regular fishermen. And the village folks had come down from Galilee, just old country people like we'uns is today. And whenever Jesus Christ was on this earth, we knew they was under the Roman power. The Jews could not make the decisions. They was under a Roman power. They was having problems. We think we're having problems of our leadership in our country today. There's nothing like old Nero was the time whenever Jesus Christ and old Roman Empire against the Christians, against the Jews at that time. And he knows that they were having problems, as the government was. But he was talking to a group of people, like I said, the old country folks, like you and I today. And I want you to know we're having problems in our world, are we not? I mean, there's some huge problems, very complex problems. And we look around, and if Jesus Christ was standing here today, which he is, and he's telling you which he is, this is not what he has said, this is what he is saying. To who's he saying it to? You and me. And he's telling us that you're the light and you are the salt. And do we want America back? Do we want America back to where most people from my age had a great, great country and we didn't realize it? Do we want America back? And we say, yeah, we sure want America back, and we're going in the wrong direction, and we're just having all these problems, and we can blame the Democrats, or you might blame the Republicans, you can blame the leaders if you want to. You know what Jesus Christ was telling? He said, look at old Nero, look at the Roman Empire, look at old Caesar, look at the Pharaoh, look at all these problems of the country we have in. But you said, amongst all this, what we have in today, you know what he said? He said, You Christians, y'all are the salt and you are the light to this crooked world, this rotten, decaying world. He says, you. The answer is through you. We can't wait for the White House to get right, or congressmen, or the Supreme Court judges. You know who he's talking to? He says, we want America back. If we want revival in America, it's not going to come through the White House. It's going to come through the church house. And he says, you Christians, the salt and the light. The salt, it has to be applied, and it works, and it goes in, and it disappears. But we're going to be talking about the light mostly this morning. It comes from within and appears and stays. Salt is our character in this world, but light penetrates, and it also illuminates, and he's saying you. In verses 14, 15, and 16, ye are the light of the world. A light that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick and give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. May God add a blessing upon the word today. I thank the Lord for the study. I thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ said, through these few words that I'm speaking, it's the who, the what, and the why. Today, problems that we have, we see we are the light of the world. Every one of us, I told you Wednesday night, I didn't even get into my lesson Wednesday night, but I told them a little illustration about the mother carried her little son to this great cathedral. Beautiful stained glass windows. The image of people was in these stained glass windows, and the sun was shining And he asked his mother, who's all these people in these windows? Oh, she says, son, that's the saints. So the little boy said, I know what a saint is. It's the people that lets the light shine through you. And that's exactly what we're supposed to do. Let the light shine through. 2 Corinthians 11:10 says, as the truth of Christ is in me. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, know ye not that your own self know that Jesus Christ is in you. A little boy asked his father, says, Dad, how tall am I? He said, oh, I don't know, son, maybe a little bit more than 4 feet tall. I don't know. He said, well, how tall is Jesus? Or how tall was Jesus? He said, well, I don't know, son, maybe between 5 and 6 foot tall. I don't really know, probably between 5 and 6 foot tall. The little boy says, well, if Jesus is in me, he's sticking out. And that's exactly what's supposed to happen. If he's in us, he should be sticking out. He should be shining through us. You are the light of the world. The problem, the who, the what, and the why. Who is he speaking to, as I said? Just the old country folks around the Sea of Galilee, his disciples. Just an old poor people that we would call them, old country folks. You are the sign of the world. The problem is going to be dispelled, he's saying. If the problem is going to be dispelled then, at a time when Jesus Christ was living through his disciples, if the problem is going to be dispelled in the country that you and I are living, in the town, in the city, in your home, if the problem we're having today is going to be dispelled, it's going to have to be through you as a Christian. He was not speaking to the intellectual at that time in Athens, where all the intellectual people was. Today, you're not talking to the college students or the universities that you see on television, the Waters World. I don't know where they come from, the intellectual of the day. He was not speaking to the Roman military, the power of the known world at that time. We're not speaking to the Pentagon today. He was not talking to Caesar, the ungodly leader at that time. He's not talking to the president today. He's not talking to Washington, D.C., the White House, or the Supreme Court. If you want to change this country, Jesus Christ says, and your problem, you got to be the one that do it. You. We don't have time to point the fingers at anybody else but us as Christians of this world today. As I said, the old country people, old disciples, they're just country. But you see, they was under bondage, and we're under bondage also. We get more under bondage all the time. Our freedom being tucked away from me. He said, but you, look around. As they looked around, and Jesus said, ye are the salt, you are the light of the world. And they begin to look around at one another. Old country fishermen, old country bumpkins, old villagers. He says, you. And that word in the Greek, they say it points out, it means you. Well, that's good. But really, the answer to it, nobody else but you. When he said, ye are the light, it means that you are the light. Nobody else but you. But you. If I had asked Jesus Christ, if he was on earth, to stand right here and speak to you this morning about this, he would stand and he would point at you. Ye are the light. You're the light of the world. Every one of us, ordinary people, what can one person do? God can take ordinary people and do some extraordinary things through his people. I hope y'all believe that. As I said, we sing the songs and we pray and we want our America back. And you know what? We complain and we gripe and, you know, we throw off on this person, throw off on that person. But you see, if we want America back, you know exactly what's got to happen. Christian people's got to get back to the Word of God and the house of God. That's simple. People got to get back to the Word of God because they don't believe the Word of God and they don't care nothing about the house of God. But he says, you. Light dispels darkness. Ye are the light. Light is very powerful. Light gives directions. You just can't go without light. You got to have light for directions. You're the light of the world. We ought to be the way the world is going is through the Christians, the church. That's the reason God set up the churches on this earth. You know, in the Old Testament, he worked through the nation Israel. They failed to be the people he called them to be. He set them aside. Their time had been set aside. He moved up. He grafted us in. called the church age that you and I are living today. God do not work through the nation of Israel now. He works through his church, the called out ones, to do his bidding for him. We should give the directions to this world. Not looking for this world for direction. We should give the directions. And also light gives attention. We are to call attention to ourselves and attention to Jesus Christ. We're living in a culture and a society that is considered a very enlightened society. Boy, we have really enlightened. If you think that's true, look at Washington, D.C. and the mess that we're in today. Our culture is a darker intellectual than it's ever been before in the history. You know, you look at television, they're trying to find the answers, and you see, you might hear about homosexuals. Well, everything that you see and hear on television, they can't help it. They was born that way. They can't help it. God says they can help it. It's wrong. Drugs issue today, can't do anything about it. Let's legalize it. Let's legalize gambling. Abortion, can't do anything about it. Let's legalize abortion. And that's exactly what we've done. People that are doing this don't even know the simple question of life. Where did I come from? They can't answer that. Why am I here? They can't answer that. Where am I going when I leave here? Back to the old dirt. They can't answer that. But I'm telling you, I'm saved. You're saved today. If you're not, you can be. And I'll tell you one thing. I came from God. I'm here to serve and worship God. When I breathe my last breath, I'm going back to God. I know why I'm here. And I know where I'm going when I leave here. But our society today is in moral darkness than they've ever been before. The problems in this moral darkness, they have no compass because the Word of God is a compass, but they won't read their Bible. They don't care about church. They don't care about what preacher says is in the Word of God. Darkness also in our religious society that you and I live today. God deposited his light in three different areas. He deposited his light in the scriptures to start with. Psalms 119:105. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word gives light, but people won't read this light. So he deposited his light in his son. John 9:5 says, as long as I'm in this world, I am the light of this world. But they crucified the Son of God to try to put out that light. The third place God had instilled his light is in people. His church people, his people. Ephesians 5:8 says, for ye were sometimes darkened, but now ye are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We are the saints of God. Let the light shine through us. 2 Corinthians 4:6 also tells us, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:15 says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the Son of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in this world. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:20 says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Have not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolish of preaching to save them that believe. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. All those world movers and shakers today, all the science, the educational today, the think tanks of the world, where have all this got society and human beings today? Where has it got us? The technology. Now we've come a long way, baby. You're looking at an old country man that don't know very much. I'm very ignorant in the world standards today. I plowed a mule. That's how far back I go, and some of it goes back further than I do. I come along in a time that I plowed a mule, barefooted. I have lived in this life long enough to see the technology explode in my lifetime. In my lifetime, I probably have seen more changes than any other generation that's ever been on the face of this earth. From plowing a mule to going to the moon, Whenever we get in an automobile, you just mash a button, have all type of music coming in the automobile, air conditioning in the summertime, heat in the wintertime, push button everything, sound system. You get out of an air-conditioned car, you go into a house that's controlled by a thermostat of heating and cooling, whatever you want. You go sit down in a recliner. You got your space control there at your clip. And watch 150 channels at one time if you want it. While inside the microwave, your coffee's being heated or your supper being heated in the microwave. It just goes on and on and on. The age that we're living, the technology that we're living in today, and the traveling system. From a Model T to the system now, the cars go over 600 miles an hour. Airplanes go to over 2,000 miles an hour. Spaceship over 6,000. From plowing a mule, I've lived to see this, but you know all this light that we have today. You can get in your automobile in Jacksonville, Florida, on Interstate 10, and drive all the way across this nation to the other side, Pacific, California, and never stop at a red light. The technology today, but we're living in the most enlightened age, but it's darker than we ever lived before. It's darker than we ever lived before. Science and education. Now, they'll teach you how to understand how God works, but they will not teach you how to understand God unless He reveals Himself to you in His Word. You can read history books of George Washington. You can know all about George Washington, but I've never met George Washington. A lot of people, they think they're saved because they say, I know about Jesus Christ. I know Jesus Christ. I know Jesus Christ. But yet I have never met George Washington. He has never revealed himself to me. And just the way it is with Christians, Jesus Christ has to reveal himself to you. He did to me. He will to you today. Who and how? Now the foolishness of this concealed light. The foolishness of concealed light, Matthew 14 and 15, as I done read, it says about a bushel. Neither do man light a candle and put it under a bushel. Well, a bushel is a place to hide the light. What is a bushel? Well, whenever I was coming along in this old world, there was the bushel of everything. There was a bushel of corn, a bushel of peas. I mean, everything was measured in bushels. Everything was made. Well, what the bushel tell us today, and it says that you light a candle and you put it under a bushel. Bushel, it's an illustration there of our workforce. It's an illustration there of our labor. The world of labor is a bushel. That's what he's saying. Really, it's saying don't get too busy now out there in your bushel basket as you're working. Don't get too busy to let your light shine. Don't get too busy in your business, in your workforce, to let your light shine. Don't put that light under a bushel in your business as we work. Let your light shine. And our possessions, don't hide your light. In your business without the Bible, business without the Lord, you get more important in your business and you do Jesus Christ and you won't let your light shine. Luke chapter 8, verse 16, and the same thing. It says, no man, when he had lit a candle, covered it with a vessel or put it under a bed, but set it on a candlestick that they may enter in, may see the light. Now, he goes here from the bushel basket now to a bed. That's our leisure time. Bed represents our leisure time. Don't put your light under your leisure time. Let your light shine. And a lot of people say, well, I know I need to go to church, but I'm too lazy. I'm too lazy. Well, they got their light under the bed. If that's the case, I know I need to go to church, but I'm just too lazy. I'm just too busy. The bushel of unconcern and compromise. Don't get too lazy to let your light shine. And a lot of Christians just got that away. Just too lazy to let our light shine. Mothers and fathers today, where is your light for your family? Where is your commitment to Jesus Christ, the house of Jesus Christ? That's in your home. Do you come and worship and serve as you ought to and your grandparents? Fix me Father's Day next Sunday. Parents, what are you doing? The importance. What is important to you? You're the leader. parents, mothers and fathers. Whatever is important to you will shine in the hearts of your children. If you get too important in your work to come to the house of God, it will shine in the hearts of your children. They won't want to come either. If you get too lazy sitting around the house in the recliner, not just on Sunday morning, but all the service of God, fathers and mothers and grandparents, if you get too lazy to shine for the Lord, and your importance is whatever you want to do, that light will shine for your children. They won't want to come either. If it's not important to the house of God for the mothers and fathers and the grandparents, if it's not important to the mothers and fathers, it will not be important to the children. Let your light shine. Don't cover it on your workplace. Don't cover it in your home. Let it shine for Jesus Christ today. Thank you, Lord. Again, it says about putting a light in a city that they all may see it. See, we need to put a light in a city that all may see it. Let it on a hill where everybody can see that light. They tell me in a spaceship, the last thing on earth that they can see from looking back to earth is a town that's lit up at night. That's the last thing that can be seen. Well, you know what that tells me? All the lights of the big cities. That tells me that brings it in now to a church. A church is a, when we come together, we are incorporation together. We are incorporated. And that tells us our, we come together in a gatherment, that you see our influence of the church to be a light. We are a brighter light the more people that comes. The more people that comes, the brighter the light of Pleasant Hill shines. You know it works the other way? The less people come, the less the light here shines. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Ye. People pass by on Wednesday night, and they see the few cars are here. Ye. They pass by on Sunday morning. Ye. Your neighbor passed by on Wednesday night. Your car's at home. Ye. Your kids said, Daddy and Mama, you're not in church. Ye. You are the light of the world. The foolish of concealed light. The faithful now of courageous light. Put your light on a candlestick. What does that mean? It means to lift it up. Some of y'all don't remember the old lamps that we used to have. The kerosene lamps that we used to have. And you see, you go outside, if you hold this lamp, and some of you don't even know what a lamp is, probably. Go out, hold this lamp, you can't hardly see anything. You know what you have to do? You can see a lot better. Do you know it? You can see a lot better when you hold the lamp up. Do y'all really believe that? Now, they didn't have flashlights. He said a lamp when you hold it up. Candlestick when you hold it up. You can see a lot further for your guidance, for your directions, whenever you hold the lamp up or candlestick, whatever it might be. Nowadays, you know, you just switch on the light. You don't look at all that. It's illustration. Maybe some of it might not even know about it. It's a little younger than I am. But it's this lamp that we today. Jesus Christ and old country people and his disciples there, hold your lamp up. What is the most important place now for this light to be put in the house? Is it the chandelier there in the living room? Is that the most important place for the light to be? That's a big, great, important place, a chandelier right there in the living room or the dining room. But is that chandelier more important in the living room than a 50-watt bulb outside the back porch to keep you from falling down and stumbling down and killing yourself on the back porch steps? That little 50 light is just as important in his place or its place than the chandelier is in the living room. Wherever God has put you for service, in the kingdom of God, it's just as important is a chandelier that's hanging up. Let your light shine wherever God has put you. Disciples What good are we? What can one man do? Live your life where God has put you. Who are we? We are the salt. We are the light of the Lord. And then as we move on, look at the forthness of this collective light. Church, we collect these lights. We're collecting lights tonight, this morning. Verse 14, 15 again, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. The church is a city of God. The church is a city of God. We need one another. We shine brighter when we shine together. Any person will not come to the house of God, the church of God, and shine together, missing the mark some way or another. We shine brighter when we shine together. It's our privilege, it's our responsibility, it's our duty to shine for Jesus Christ. We are going, how are we going to shine? Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All right, by surrendering. It says let. That surrender, let. Let it happen. If you force it, it won't be nothing but just a glaze. It won't be a glue. Let it happen. Stephen, the deacon, was stoned to death after giving his testimony about Jesus Christ. You know what it says? He looked up into heaven, his face shone like the face of an angel. Let it shine. Surrender. Shine for Jesus Christ. But all of that, the sacrifice, let your light shine. The sacrifice. No shining without burning. John the Baptist said that he was a burning and a shining light. He was willing to be consumed. There'll be no shining if you're not willing to burn for Jesus Christ. And then there's no shining without burning because you see that lamp that I was talking about, the oil might burn up and the wick maybe have to be trimmed. You see, we are a light house for Jesus Christ. And then, you know, we must be sanctified or sanctification, it says in verse 16 and also Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God's Son, who loved me and gave himself for me. The world, United States today, we are living in a perishing state. We are perishing in this country. We are a dying nation. We are a dying nation. Do y'all remember the Susan B. Anthony coin? Y'all remember the Susan B. Anthony dollar? It was a coin. Some of you may have some of them. You know how many years it was in circulation? Maybe 2, maybe 3 years. And they took it out of circulation. You know why they took it out of circulation? It was not like a dollar, but more like a quarter. They took it out because of confusion. But boss, people said a dollar or it looked like a dollar and a quarter or it looked like a quarter. A Christian ought to be a Christian. That's when it took out of circulation. There was too much like something else. And I tell you one thing, Christians are too much like the world. And really what's happening, we're out of circulation. Because we bring confusion when we're not more like Jesus Christ and more like this world, and we'll be out of circulation. You are the light of the world. We are perishing. What's happening? We're dying. We're being burned up. I read a true story several years ago, back in the turn of the century, when schoolhouses was made out of all wood and bunch of country schoolhouses. This was in South Carolina, schoolhouse 3 or 4 stories high, and it caught on fire. Raging inferno. And the bell was rung in the city, the schoolhouse was on fire. Children was in the schoolhouse. People come running. There was a father that come running to help, and he saw his son through a window inside that schoolhouse. And he heard his son looked and saw his father. He says, "Daddy, can you save me? Daddy, save me." And his daddy tore loose to run into that burning inferno. Strong men had to hold him and catch him and hold him back because it was impossible to get to his son. And it said that he recognized his son and he watched his son as you would take a acetylene torch and hold up a piece of paper and was burned up while he stood there and watched his son being burned up. "Daddy, can you save me? Daddy, can you save me?" Well, I'm going to tell you, Father's Day, daddies can't save you. Jesus can save you. And I want to say that a man didn't live but about 2 or 3 years and he died from a broken heart. Can you understand why? A broken heart. I can understand how he must have felt. We're in a perishing state of mind in our country. "Science, can you save me?" No, science says, "I can't save you, but I can tell you how far it is from the earth to the sun." "Education, can you save me?" No, I can make you smart, but I can't make you wise. How about culture? "Culture, can you save me?" No, but I can make this world a better place to go to hell from. Ye are the sight, the light of the world. You are. Jesus said, "You are." We just don't look up. We're too much like that Susan B. Anthony coin, that dollar. We just bring confusion today. People are looking for a way to turn, and a lot of churches today just bring confusion without the Word of God. Out in the country, there was men went duck hunting. Shot some ducks. One of them, they wounded on his wing, and he fell over in a farmer's yard, and his children went and picked it up and had a bad wing, and now they wanted to take that duck. And they took that duck, and they patched up that little wing of that duck, you know, and fed that little old duck, took care of that little old duck, and everything they could take care of, you know. And the next migration, when the ducks begin to fly over and quack and quack and quack, the little old duck looked up, but the wing was not well, and little duck could not return to the migration. So the duck just stayed there for another year. When the ducks began to fly over that following year, the duck's wings was healed. But he got so accustomed and so comforted to this new existence, when the ducks began to fly over, he didn't even look up. We're so accustomed, this old lost world today, as Christians, when that heavenly calling comes for you and I to assemble, just like that duck. They was calling for the assemble of that duck to assemble with them for a migration route they're supposed to fly. God called you every day of the week. Every child of God, every Christian today, God calls them to assemble, to assemble, to assemble. But most Christians are so tied up and so comfortable for their existence in this world, when that calling comes, they don't even look up. We got so accustomed to this world we're living in, we don't recognize or hear the voice of God calling. But he's calling. He's calling for you and he's calling for me. He says, you can't get away from it. You can't run from it. You can't hide. Jesus Christ said, "You." We want this country back. You want your family better. We want better everything. You. We have the answer to the problems exist in the world today. And that answer is Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. We have the answer, the light to tell your husband and your wife, we need to be saved. We need to be serving as we come with the song of invitation. We need to pass it on to our children and to our grandchildren, that we need to let them know that we mean business with Jesus Christ. Because one of these days, you're going to really, really need Jesus, I can assure you. And by serving and worship Jesus Christ on a daily and a weekly, you're packing up and putting money in the bank. One day you're going to have to make a withdrawal. What are you going to have in that bank to make a withdrawal with? You depositing your interest in heavenly things. Where's it going to be? Do we even look up anymore? Do we even hear the call of Jesus Christ, the heavenly calling for us today? As we stand and sing the song, this invitation song, I decide to follow Jesus. I hope that you have today. Person here is not saved. You want to be saved? You need to come today.